men, if we'd just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we humbly and reverently approach thy throne of mercy this morning, believing, Father, that that throne of mercy is still open, and that, Father, it will be until the rapture, it will be until the taking us out of here, then the judgments will fall. And so, Father, we asked that you would allow us the privilege, Lord, to walk with you in the light, as you are in the light, knowing that as we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, and it brings us into sweet communion, sweet fellowship, one with another, and with thee. And so, Father, we just ask that you would take hold of our mind, Father, our lips, not only in this service, Father, but for all time. We just pray, Father, you would take us and mold us and shape us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. For we ask it humbly in that wonderful name that you gave him, the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I would like to take a subject on the attitude of Christ. And we just open our Bibles to Philippians. Be reading from chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. And let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in this world. Hold forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered up upon the sacrifice and the service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye rejoice, and do ye joy and rejoice with me. For I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know that your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, and not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my want. For he longed after you and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, near unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should also have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his own life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Let's just bow our heads one more time. Dear gracious Father, we have read from the book of Philippians where Paul expressed the attitude of Christ, the attitude of himself, the attitude of Timotheus and Epaphroditus. And we see that each, Father, was a servant. Each was willing to lay aside their own desires, their own thoughts, and to serve you. And Father, we just ask, as Paul said, let this mind be in Christ, which was in you. And we know that the Greek word there is the word attitude. Let the attitude which was in Christ be in us. And so, Father, we ask that you would place within our soul the right mental attitude. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, this morning I would like to speak on the attitude of Christ. And there are basically 5 points I would like to bring out. Number one, I want to show you what having the right mental attitude is. Number two, I want to show what the right mental attitude will produce, because it must produce something. Number three, I want to show you why we must have the right mental attitude. Number four, I want to show you how our mental attitude affects those around us. And number five, I want to show you how a wrong attitude can cripple our walk and the walk of those we have influence over. So what is the right mental attitude? Well, Webster's New World Dictionary defines attitude as aptness, something you're apt to do, or an inclination, something you're inclined to do. And he further states the position or posture assumed by the body in connection with an action, a feeling, or a mood. The word attitude is also defined as a manner of acting, feeling, or thinking that shows one's disposition or one's opinion. Now, if you caught the main points in each of these definitions, the first stating that attitude is a posture or position of the body in reference to or in connection with an action, a feeling, or a mood. And the other is the action, feeling, or thinking that shows your opinion, disposition, or mindset. So we're looking at the position of the body, or the posture of the body, the stature of the body, and those attributes that show when you are thinking, feeling, or what expresses your mood. Therefore, attitude is not just a mental cognition or a mental understanding or a mental leaning, but rather attitude is an outward expression of our disposition. It is an outward expression of our feelings. It is an outward expression of our thoughts. It is in connection of the body to those thoughts and how the body expresses those thoughts. That's what an attitude is. And remember, he said, we are written epistles. The word is written into our flesh. And your flesh is a manifestation of your disposition. It's a manifestation of your attitude. And the key word that we're looking at is it shows how we feel. It shows just what we think about something. The Bible tells us that God would send forth an angel to mark those that would sigh and cry because of the abomination done in the city. And the sighing and crying is the body's response to what has been done in their city. And that is an outward expression of what their attitude was inside of their soul. Your attitude then shows outwardly what you are thinking inwardly. You cannot hide an attitude. It shows. It manifests. You might be able to hide your thoughts, but an attitude goes beyond inner thoughts. Attitude speaks of the expression of your disposition. The way that you show it in your body language, in your eyes, in your facial expression, in the tone of your voice, and in your posture. Therefore, attitude is the expression of your opinion and your disposition. Now, the word disposition comes from two words, dis and position. Together, they speak of the putting in order and refers to the normal aspects of one's nature. Therefore, what we see in attitude is the disposition or the setting in order or the outward reflection of one's true nature. So what is the right mental attitude? Well, to have the right mental attitude, you must first have to have the right thoughts about whatever the object is that you're thinking about. Actually, to have the right attitude is to have the attitude that Christ had. And that means that you must have the right opinion. And there's only one right opinion, and that is God's opinion. What does God think about it? Because His thoughts are not our thoughts. For His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And if we are to have a right thinking about anything, it must be what God thinks about it. And in order to know what God's thoughts are about anything, it must come through the instrument of His Word. For out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaketh. Therefore, if we are to have the right attitude, then we must have the attitude that was in Christ. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 2 and 5, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus." And the word mind here comes from the Greek word phronio, that is used for the word like-minded. Let this mind that was in Christ be in you. And that's the key that Paul is bringing to us here. And it is a gift from God that only those whom God chooses can receive this gift. Notice Paul says here, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus." And notice then that it is according to Christ Jesus, the anointed Jesus. So we see that God has given us a gift to be like-minded, and not only to be like-minded, but like-minded towards one another. And notice he tells us, according to Christ Jesus. Now the only way that we can be like-minded is if we have the same mind. So he's telling us here that the same thing that he's telling us in Philippians 2 and 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus." And the word mind there, if you read the, I think it's the NIV translation, it says, "Let the attitude be in you. Let this attitude be in you, which was in Christ Jesus." So we're talking about an attitude. Notice Paul says here, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another in Christ Jesus." And in Philippians 2 and 5, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ." And we know that this can only come as God has ordained it to come. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, we read, "But as many as received him..." Now the word "received" here is a Greek word, lambano, which means to take to oneself, to lay up or to lay hold of, to take possession of, to appropriate for oneself. So as many as appropriated him. We were talking the other night about the token, Brother John and I. And I mentioned to him that when Brother Branham said we must apply the token, you see, the token is Christ. He's here. And we've got to apply the fact that He's here. We've got to apply what we know of Him being here. In Israel, they were told to apply the blood on the doorposts in the sign of a cross. And so they took the lamb, they slayed the lamb. Now, the slaying of the lamb wasn't just enough, but they had to apply it. And how did they apply it? They applied it to the household. Brother Branham said, the way you apply the token is you clean up the house. That's how you apply the token. Notice in Paul, he tells us, let's go back to John. So the word there is lambano, and it means to lay a hold upon, take possession of, to appropriate to oneself. It also means to catch, to reach after, to strive, to obtain. "To them gave he power." Notice, "as many as received him, as many as were able to hold on to them gave he power." As many as were able to appropriate Christ, to them gave he power. And this word power is not the Greek word dunamis, which we associate so often with miraculous power. But it is the Greek word exousia, which means the power of choice. So we see God gives us a gift, and the gift is the power to make a right decision. And that decision is to become a son, or act like a son ought to act. "To them gave he power to become the sons of God." Now this word "become" comes from the Greek word genomai, genomai. And it does not mean that you were a hog and now you have power to become a lamb. It does not mean that you were a seed of the devil and now you have been given power to become a seed of God. No, it means to become fulfilled. In other words, God gives you the power to make the right decision to become what you already are. Beloved, now are we sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Why? Because, let's face it, we're not acting like sons. But when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, because we'll see Him as He is. So the seeing Him as He is helps us to become what we ought to be. Now that we know what the right mental attitude is, that it is the expression of God's opinion, living itself and expressing itself in your body, the next thing we must look at is point number two. I want to show you what the right mental attitude will produce. "From I am the resurrection and the life," William Branham said, "it's your attitude towards it. Your attitude towards God's divine gift will get you what you ask for." Do you understand? Oh, how I'd like to stop right here, Brother Bose, and punch that for about a half an hour, but I can't do it. It's your attitude. God can send a gift, and no matter what it depends on what attitude you take towards it. Look at them who smote His face and spit on Him and everything. Was no virtue there. But a woman that believed the word touched the hem of His garment and was healed. Is that right? All right. Then it depends on what you think about it. God sends it, and it's your attitude towards any divine gift. It determines what you get out of it. So there. In Hebrews chapter 11, we could read all about faith and how they conquered kingdoms and everything else through faith. You see, faith is a display of our attitude towards God's Word. From proving His Word, Brother Bram said, but before we pray for the sick, we've got to get the people in that attitude. It's the attitude that always brings the results. It's the attitude that you take towards God. Here's a woman touched His garment. She was healed with a blood issue. A soldier spit in His face and put a crown of thorns on His head, and He felt no virtue. It's your approach. The attitude is what it takes. And that's what it is tonight, dear friend. It takes the attitude. We are and believe that we are in the presence of Jesus Christ, but it's your attitude that brings the results. The mechanics is here, and so is the dynamics. But if you can just get started, God will do the rest. You know, in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 10, let's just turn to it. Or saith he, it is altogether for our sakes. No, excuse me. That's right. No doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. You know, when you're out there sowing seeds, whether it be for a new job, an existing job, whether it be for the kingdom of God, whether it be for an atmosphere in your home or an atmosphere amongst. The fact is that if you're doing these things without expectation of result, you're not going to be doing well. Let's say that he that putteth his hand to the plow and looks back, Jesus said, is unworthy of the kingdom. If you put your hand to the plow and you turn back to look where you've been, you're going to mess up where you're going. So the farmer that plows in hope, he expects to reap from his efforts. In Romans 8 and verse 24 to 25, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So if you do not see it, then you're still hoping. But when you have seen it, it shows that your hope has become manifested. And Brother Bram said from the Message expectation, he said, just for a little text, I would like to call it that. I want to speak for a moment on a moment or two on the word expectation. We always get what we expect. When people expect anything, well, then they usually get what they look for. It's the mental attitude that you have. Remember this and never forget it. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God. It doesn't take gifts of healing to heal sick people. Any person in here has a right to meet Satan anywhere. And if you're a Christian, and defeat him on any grounds that he could stand on. When Jesus Christ was here on earth and in him dwelled the fullness of the Godhead bodily, all the great powers of God was in his Son, Christ Jesus. For the scripture tells us that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. All things was delivered unto him, though he spoke nothing but what the Father told him. He healed no one but what he first saw being healed. For he said, Verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself but what he sees the Father doing. That was St. John 5:19. Now, Brother Branham said, you get what you expect. I think it's interesting that Jesus Christ was filled with God. The very personal presence of Almighty God dwelt in his Son, and he was able to walk on water. But you know, a man that hadn't even been born again yet, named Peter, was able to walk on the same waves, the same water, until what happened? Until he lost his focus. And the scripture says, be careful or you'll lose your reward. So we're talking about an attitude, we're talking about a focus, we're talking about a right mental attitude, and that's the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. Now we find then that there's only one attitude, and that is what God thinks about it, and his action towards the object of the attitude. And we find that Jesus Christ came to earth to display to the world God's attitude towards the world, the sinner, and the seed of God. The second point that we've looked at, we should understand concerning our attitude, and especially our attitude towards God's Word, is that we find that the right mental attitude will produce what it's meant to produce. We examined the Scripture and took a handful of Scriptures in the Scripture, people of the Scriptures, and examined their reason or their reaction to the Word of God. Their reaction to the promise of God was that their attitude towards God and His Word, for He is the Word. And we see how many infallible scriptural proofs that the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. Remember the Roman centurion. He came and he said, My servant is dying. And Jesus said, Go, your servant is healed. And the man said, Jesus said, Well, I can come with you. And he said, No, there's no need. He said, I'm a man of power and influence, authority. And if I say to my soldiers, go, they go. And if I say, come, they come. And he said, all you have to do is speak the word. And Jesus spoke the word and said, your servant is healed. And the Bible tells us that on his way back to his home, and it could have been a 2 or 3 day journey, the others came and they met him. And they said, he's healed. And he said, what hour was he healed? It was the very hour that Jesus had proclaimed his healing. You see, it's your attitude that brings the results. I remember years ago talking to Brother Vail about this subject. And he said, Brian, he said, I saw people healed by the power of God on the platform, but by the time they left the back door of the church, that blindness or whatever it was back on them again. Why? Because someone said something and they doubted their faith. You get what you're looking for. Always you get what you're looking for. From the message, I am the resurrection and the life, Brother Branham said, it's your attitude towards it. Your attitude towards God's divine gift will get you what you ask for. Do you understand? It depends on what attitude you take toward it. Look at them that smote him on the face and spit on his face and everything else. There was no virtue there. But when the woman that believed just touched the hem of his garment, she was healed. So it's your attitude towards any divine gift. It determines what you get out of it. Now, point number three is this. We must know why we must have the right mental attitude. Now, there are several reasons why we must display the right attitude towards God's Word. Number one, our attitude will produce a result depending on the attitude we display. Our attitude does not create an atmosphere, but rather expresses the atmosphere in which we live. Let me say that again. Our attitude does not create the atmosphere. Your attitude only expresses the atmosphere in which you're living. It is the expression of the nature of your soul, and thus it creates an atmosphere around you of who you are. You are identified with the attitude that you express, and thus you are judged and will be judged for the attitude you display to others and the attitude you display towards God. Thus your attitude will not only affect your own self, but it has an effect on others. From proving his word, Brother Branham said, but before we pray for the sick, we've got to get the people in that attitude. It's the attitude that always brings the results. It's your approach. The attitude is what it takes. And that's what it is tonight, dear friend. It takes the attitude. We are and believe that we are in the presence of Jesus Christ, but it's your attitude that brings the results. The mechanics is here, and so is the dynamics. But if you can just get started, God will do the rest. Now you might ask, why must we have a right attitude? But remember, it is the attitude that brings the results. If you do not come with the right attitude, you will never get anything from God except a rebuke and hardship. And that is the way it is with anyone in life. You all know that about raising children. That is one of the first things that you teach your children, is to have the right attitude towards others and to have respect for mom and dad and authority and people's possessions. And that is the way it is with God. The old moral says, you can get more bees with honey than you can with vinegar. And a moral is a point in a story that there is to illustrate a truism. Now, there is no one that I know that would rather have people treat them like dirt, but rather with respect. If you show respect, you get respect back in return. The Bible says to have friends, you've got to show yourself friendly. But if you show contempt, you'll receive contempt back, because you reap what you sow. If someone is in need and they politely ask, I usually do what I can to help them out. But as soon as they get uppity and start to demand, that is when I just close up and won't help them anymore. I've experienced that in the mission field. There are some pastors overseas that I've enjoyed helping. But when some of them got uppity and started demanding that we help them and that we owed it to them, it just shut down the compassion that I had for them and left me feeling empty of compassion toward them. With no more compassion for them, why should I bust myself with three jobs to take care of them? You see? And so it's an attitude. It's an atmosphere. You know, if you've got the right atmosphere, if you create a right atmosphere, it then moves out and it affects other people. Brother Ram said, when divine love is projected, he said, then when you become a son or daughter of God, your disposition changes, your attitude changes. Your look towards life and towards others changes. It doesn't mean that you have joined church. It means that you have been regenerated. You have become a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old things are passed away and God has spoken to you. And you become a new creature. I want this to go down, way down deep, even into the church members. Then as you would love to be in the presence of Christ and you become a part of Christ, then people love to become in your presence because you become a part of God, a son and daughter of God. Did you ever see people that you just love to be in their presence? There's just something about them that you just that just radiates, that you just love to talk to them. And then there's other people who are nice people, yet we don't say this unkindly, but you just can hardly stand to be around them. It is because they have the atmosphere that you create. For as a son of God, we are miniature creators, because you are a part of God. And that's the reason that you can believe the Bible for anything that it says. For the words of God, for the word is God's word. And you being a part of God's word will agree with that word. And God was not pleased with them either. For when we pulled back from helping those that basically took a wrong attitude, took a money-pulling attitude, then God also pulled back on the funds that we were receiving from the outside stopped coming as well. You see how your attitude can start a whole chain of reaction. The attitude that Achan had, bringing in the wedge, caused all of Israel to be hurt. So you're not the only one living on this planet. And the blessings that you receive from God also affect other people. You see, when you receive good things, you give good things. You know, you express good things. You help good things. You do good things. And others are affected by it. You know, if you're always poor, you can't help other people. Well, you might be able to help them with time. but you can't help them with things that they may need. You see? So when you're blessed, you become a blessing to others. It's an attitude. It creates. There was a thing that went around the country not so long ago, maybe 5-6 years ago, but it's called Pass It On. You know, people do a good deed and they say, okay, now, what can I do in return? Don't do it for me. Do it for somebody else. Pass it on. And so it was kind of a thing that was going around, and it wasn't a bad idea. But in Deuteronomy 28, it speaks of blessing and cursing that we can expect to receive depending on our attitude towards God's word. If we receive and respect God's word, we're blessed. If we reject God's word, we turn from it, we're cursed. 28:1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee. You don't even know they're coming. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Notice we're told that we won't even see them coming until they're upon us and have overtaken us. One day you just wake up and everything seems to be going your way. That is the blessings from God. But in Deuteronomy 28:15, but it shall come to pass, if thou shalt not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. You see, the results you get depends on what attitude you display towards God and his word. From God and his people, Brother Bram said, your attitude towards the gift will determine your healing. From resurrection of Lazarus, he said, why, she knew if God was in Elijah, surely he was in his son. Hallelujah. That's right. There, she said, if I can only get him, I'll find out the reason my brother died. So she pressed right on through the crowd of unbelievers. And when she got down there to where he was, and looked closely, now I'm going to close just in a minute. It seems like that she had a right to upbraid him, but she didn't. She said, why didn't you come to my brother? She could have scolded him. Why didn't you come to my brother? If she would have approached in that attitude, that miracle would have never happened. So it's your attitude of your reproach, how that you approach anything. If you come like on the gift there, or on the gift here, you've got to approach the gift in the right way. You've got to approach God in the right way. You can't come and say, now, Lord, looky here. I've been a pretty good fellow. Get me some hand-me-downs. I'll tell you, I want you to take me tonight. And no, God don't take it like that. You come God's provided way, or you don't come at all. That's right. From Wedding Supper, Brother Bram said, God wants a church that he can lay his hands on. I don't care how little it is, 2 or 3 gathered in my name, I'll be in their midst. Not just speak it. Then you say, well, we gather in his name. Speaking in the name of Jesus by word is not what he meant, so much as it is the attitude that you're gathered in, the evidence of the name of Jesus. When you gather in my name, then ask what you will. It's the motive that you come in, the attitude. It's an attitude instead of so much of a calling of a name. Sinners call that name on the street. They curse it and everything else. But it's the environment that you're in, the attitude that you come, coming in Jesus' name. From We Would See Jesus, Brother Branham said, it depends on the attitude that we take. Now, God always sends his gifts and things into a generation near the churches, and whatever attitude the people take, that's the results of what they get. And from God in simplicity, he said, when a minister walks into the congregation of people praying in the anointing of the Spirit, you're bound to hear from heaven. So people that come to church don't get anything. It's because they came to church not looking for anything. You get what you're looking for. Preacher could show up with no notes at all, and if you people are pulling, you're going to be fed from God. So you see the importance of our attitude and the atmosphere that creates it. As I mentioned, we set an atmosphere by the attitude we express by our body language and the tone of our voice and the way we look and the way we posture our body. Body language means something to people, and it means something to God. It expresses our attitude. It's an expression of the true nature of our soul. I remember years ago taking a course in negotiation, and it was how to read body language when you're talking to people. Sometimes it's not difficult. Most of you could understand a few things. I've seen people over the years sleeping through church. It wasn't too difficult to understand that it meant nothing to them. And I've seen other people get very excited You can see their faces light up by the same word that one slept by, the other got lit up. The body expresses what's going on the inside. In this negotiation course, they showed a man, three pictures, just three pictures tells the whole thing. They showed a man on a telephone. One picture was like this. Another picture was like this. Another picture was like this. And you got three different clear understandings of what went on. One, he was talking to his sweetheart. One, he was talking to a business deal. One, he was talking to someone who pulled a deal on him. So you see, the expression that you have in your body shows, the old expression says, a word paints a thousand, or a picture paints a thousand words. Your body, the expressions you have, shows. You know, when you see, I won't get into that. From proving his word, Brother Brown said, it's the attitude that always brings the results. It's the attitude that you take towards God. Here's a woman that touched his garment. She was healed with a blood issue. A soldier spit in his face, put a crown of thorns on his head, and felt no virtue. It's your approach. The attitude is what it takes, and that's what it is tonight, dear friends. It takes the attitude. We are and believe that we are in the presence of Jesus Christ, but it's your attitude that will bring the results. You know, he's here. He hasn't left us. Brother Branham said, the pillar of fire is leading us into the millennium. But what's our attitude toward that pillar of fire? Now, what does Brother Branham mean, if you can just get started? What does that mean? I believe what he's saying here is not that you can produce anything, but if you do the right thing and say the right thing, it will bring right results. You see, God will do it for you if your attitude is right. And after all, God is sovereign, and he doesn't have to do anything for anyone. But if you go to him with the right attitude, then ask what you will. In John 15, verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. From God and his people, Brother Ram said, and then, as I bring Christ to you, he will be on your hands. And you'll have to answer for your attitude that you take towards it. If you turn it down, or if you accept it. God will have you to answer for your attitude of this meeting. So you must realize it's a very sacred thing. So we see our attitude will produce a result depending on the attitude we display. Our attitude does not create an atmosphere, but rather expresses the atmosphere in which we live. It is the expression of the nature of the soul, and thus it creates an atmosphere around you of who you are. You are identified with the attitude that you express. And three, and thus you are judged and will be judged for the attitude you display to others and the attitude you display towards God. And thus, your attitude will not only affect yourself, but it has an effect upon others. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, short, but I believe sweet and to the point. The Father, our attitude is the expression shown in our bodies. And so, Father, we ask that you would help us to change our attitude. May the mind, the attitude which was in Christ, be in us. And may our attitudes be purged by the blood of the Lamb. And may they be sanctified. May they be consecrated and dedicated until the going home of your Gentile bride. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just sing that song, The Lord Bless Thee and Keep Thee. The Lord Make His Face Shine Upon Thee. Number 6 and verse 22.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. Lord be good. gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine toward you and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever.